Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Welcome back, American Savages, to The Savage Truth. I am your host, Cicely Davis. Ecstatic to have you join me for yet another episode. We are just moving along. If you're new to the channel, I welcome you. Thank you truly so much for joining me and making the decision to kind of tune in and hear my take on today's haps. For those of you who are the loyalists, you keep on tuning in, you keep making that decision, you stop on by to lend me your support. I just want you to know that I see you, I see the comments, I hear you, and I appreciate you. Now, if you're new or returning, I have an ask, and it's always the same, and it is this: to please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And let's get into it, because as you know, there's always something going on. And we're going to start off with AOC. Oh, bless her heart. AOC is actually considering a run for president of 2028. Now, this is obviously she hasn't made an official announcement, but with all of her activities and everything she's doing, it's just very obvious. I mean, we're getting to this point where we're just getting really good at predicting what they're going to do. This isn't satire, folks. The woman who once thought that unemployment rate was low because everyone has two jobs is eyeing the Oval Office like it's TikTok influencer giveaway. Now, AOC, the self-declared Democratic socialist who helped chase Amazon's 25,000 jobs out of New York City like it was a Starbucks plastic straw, believes she's ready to lead the free world. Yes. And honestly, I say, let her run. Bring it. Watching her campaign would be the greatest gift to the Republican Party since CNN started hosting town halls, or since Kamala Harris. It would be like a live action version of Clueless, but with less charm and way more economic illiteracy. AOC's presidential campaign would be a masterclass in self-owning political theater. I mean, just imagine the debates. AOC, how would you fund your Green New Deal? Cue a word salad with a billionaire's vibes and climate justice unicorns. I mean, the woman has made a career out of confusing volume with value and tweets with truth. Her run would not only unite the conservative base faster than a Biden gaffe, it would push independents sprinting towards the red column like it's Black Friday as Bass Pro shops. I mean, in short, AOC 2028 isn't a threat. It's not a threat at all. It's a joke. It's a golden opportunity for conservatives to showcase the difference between bumper sticker socialism and real world leadership. So I say, let her run. Bring it. We'll bring the popcorn, the voting booths, and we're just going to sit back and enjoy the show and have a really, really good time. And let's not forget the irony here. The same woman who regularly rails against the Constitution, capitalism, and common sense now wants to swear an oath to protect and defend them. That's like putting a vegan in charge of a Texas barbecue. It's comedy. It's tragedy. It's peak progressive delusion. But it's also the clearest contrast we could ever ask for. In a world where leftist logic is upside down, inside out, and right side up, an AOC candidacy might just be the sharp dose of reality this country needs to snap out of its political hangover. So yes, AOC, please run. I am begging you. Run. Run loud. And we'll be right behind you with a red wave. Let's move on to somebody that I actually like, who is Elon Musk. So Elon Musk was recently on Lara Trump's podcast, where he discusses a great deal about his lead as the leader of Doge and his background and genesis and the continuous attacks from the left. He calls it for what it is. He calls a thing a thing. Okay. He calls it for what it truly is, a relentless propaganda campaign, which he's right about. So let's watch this clip.
You know, you grew up in South Africa. You lived during a period of apartheid. I'm sure you've seen a lot of horrific things. So to be called a Nazi by people, to be made out to be this monster, that must be really hard for you.
Well, I mean, look, it's a relentless propaganda campaign, which obviously President Trump has experienced for a very long time, 20 years, maybe longer. Politics is a blood sport. So they're going to come up with whatever attacks they can to destroy the public perception of someone. Now, obviously, I've not harmed anyone in my life. So it's an outrageous thing to claim that I'm a Nazi, because the issue with Nazis was not their mannerisms or their, you know, choice of dress, but the fact that they killed millions of people. That's the issue. They've also called President Trump a Nazi, and there was one publication that said he's worse than President Trump is worse than Hitler, Stalin, and maybe Mao combined. And I'm like, but he also is not a violent person, and in fact has done a lot to prevent wars and stop wars.
Now, Elon Musk is now number one. He is taking the reins as the left's favorite punching bag, kind of pushing Donald Trump down to number two, and for good reason. He's brilliant, he's unapologetic, wildly successful, and worst of all, he doesn't bend the knee to their sacred woke gospel. The man launched rockets into space before most bureaucrats figured out how to mute a Zoom call. And now he's taken over one of the most influential platforms in the world, X, of course, formerly known as Twitter. The outrage machine is in overdrive. And why? Because he had the audacity to restore free speech and leftist hands, allowing opposing views to exist, is basically a hate crime. But Elon, no. He treats their tantrums like spam emails, ignored, deleted, and irrelevant. What really makes the left lose sleep at night is Musk's refusal to play the political puppet, okay? He never allowed those strengths. He doesn't pretend to worship the climate gods while flying private jets to globalist summits. He actually builds things. Okay, he actually innovates. He creates. He's always thinking. He builds things like Tesla, SpaceX, and Starlink that produce emissions, connect the world, and drive innovation without draining the American taxpayer. Oh, and did I mention he trolls them with memes and makes them look ridiculous using their own logic? And that's not that hard to do. It's like watching a high IQ wrecking ball demolish their fragile ideological Jenga tower, one tweet at a time. His mind isn't just wired for progress. It's engineered for freedom. I love it. And then there's Doge, the cryptocurrency Musk jokes about, but clearly uses to make a broader point. Decentralization, innovation, and financial liberation from corrupt institutions. Every time he even whispers the word Dogecoin, legacy media has a meltdown. Now, I got to be honest with you, I don't quite understand it, so I don't knock it because I don't understand it. I have to learn more. But he's challenging the control narrative. Musk doesn't just want Americans to have a say on social media. He wants them to have a say in how their money works, and how their information flows, and how their government function. He's like a Silicon Valley rebel with a patriotic cause, pausing and pushing back against bloated agencies, outdated regulations, and the same politicians who think $600 Venmo payments are more suspicious than billions sent to foreign nations with no accountability. Elon Musk embodies what used to be the American dream: ambition without apology, brilliance without bureaucratic permission. In a time when courage is rare and conformity is rewarded, Elon Musk stands tall, not as a politician, not as a pundit, but as a technologist fighting for truth, transparency, and liberty in the age of digital censorship and government overreach. If the left wants a villain, fine, they've got one. But to millions of freedom-loving Americans, Elon Musk is a modern-day Paul Revere, only with a rocket instead of a horse. I love it. Shannon Sharpe, we need to talk about this because everyone has been talking about this whole Shannon Sharpe situation. And after all, we don't just cover politics, okay? We're all about culture and what's going on here in our culture. Shannon Sharpe, who was once celebrated as a Hall of Fame tight end and respected voice in the sports media world, now finds himself entangled in a deeply shameful and embarrassing scandal that threatens to undo decades of personal and professional accomplishments. Folks, you got to hear this.
This is a shakedown.
Facing rape and sexual assault accusations, tonight Shannon Sharp is not backing down.
I'm going to be open, transparent, and defend myself because this isn't right.
Today, the former NFL star turned podcaster posting this video statement in response to a Nevada civil lawsuit filed by a woman who says her consensual relationship with Sharp eventually led to multiple assaults. The lawsuit also accuses Sharp of secretly recording their sexual encounters without her consent. The plaintiff, listed as Jane Doe, is represented by attorney Tony Busby, who has represented accusers in several high-profile sexual assault cases, and who Sharp called out by name.
Tony Busby targets black men, and I believe he's going to release a 30-second clip of a sex tape that tries to make me look guilty and play into every stereotype you could possibly imagine. That video should actually be 10 minutes or so. Hey, Tony, instead of releasing your edit, put the whole video out. I don't have it, or I would myself.
Also new today, Jane Doe's attorney releasing an audio clip, alleging it shows Sharp threatening the plaintiff.
I'm not going to hang up on you. Here's what it is.
The plaintiff says, don't manipulate me. Then Sharp allegedly responds,
oh, no, have mercy. If you said that one more time, I'm going to choke the shit out of you when I see you.
The accusations of rape and sexual assault made by a Jane Doe, we'll leave her as, reportedly is a 20-something OnlyFans model, are not only disturbing, they're a damning reflection of a man who should have known better. Period. Let's just say it as it is. He should have known better. Okay? You're not some 20, 30-something, or even 40. Okay? You should have known better. Regardless of the legal outcome, the optics alone, just the optics alone, are grotesque, to say the least. For a man who once stood by a pedestal as a symbol of discipline and achievement and leadership to now be reduced to tabloid headlines and social media ridicule is nothing short of a fall from grace. Now, let's be clear. Let's tell the savage truth. It isn't just about poor judgment. That's not what we're talking about here. This is about the absolute erosion of dignity and personal responsibility. The fact that he has to even put out a tweet and videos to answer to this nonsense and all the accusations and the secrets are coming out and he has to answer to all this embarrassing acts, apparently some alleged recording of contact between the two without her knowledge and having phone calls recorded and playback. What a shame. What business does a man of Sharp's age, status, and influence have associating with someone from an industry built on exhibitionism and transactional intimacy? Come on, Shannon. You gotta know better by now. You're way too old for this. This isn't a cautionary tale. Have you learned nothing? Have they learned nothing from the past mistakes of other, you know, famous people, sports artists, and Hollywood actors? Have you learned nothing? It's a glaring example of what happens when fame breeds entitlement and moral guardrails disappear. The fact, the very fact that he allowed himself to be in such a compromising and reckless position reflects not just a lapse in judgment, but a complete disregard for the reputation he spent a lifetime building. This is the thing that's making it so hard for me to grasp. This is the thing out of all of it that is so hard for me to take in the hearts for me to swallow. That at this age, I mean, he's grandpa age, okay, that he's wrestling with this. He was a role model. He spent, like I said, a lifetime building this image. He was a role model for athletes, for commentators and fans alike. Now he's a headline for all the wrong reasons. This is so tough. And no matter how this plays out in court, the stain on Sharp's legacy is permanent. The gold jacket, the Super Bowl rings, and the years at the broadcast desk cannot wash away the image of a man caught up in a scandal of his own making. Because here's the deal. He's already admitted that he's been with the girl. He's been with the woman. They've clearly had a consensual relationship. And so he's just all admitting that as a grandpa, he was with a 20-year-old alleged OnlyFans. I don't get it. The damage is done, not just to his personal brand, but to the trust and admiration so many once had in him. For someone who spent years preaching, right, accountability to others, responsibility, it's time you look in the mirror and face the wreckage of choices that no amount of athletic greatness can excuse. It's a tragedy. It's embarrassing, not just for him, but for everyone who believed he was something more. And that is the scandal in that story. Now, I'm going to stick with sports. I'm going to move right on into another famous brother, if you don't mind. Okay, we're talking about, of course, the son of Deion Sanders. We're talking about Shedeur Sanders. And keeping with sports, I'm going to just do that. Let's discuss this situation, but let's start with the video.
Every owner is very, very selfish. Now, why would I do something to my detriment? Like, if I need a quarterback and I think this kid is it, what he didn't realize is the guys that have fallen in the draft before, they all had unusual traits. Like, they had some superstar qualities to them. Now, some other things happened that made them fall, but Shedeur and his family, they overplayed their hand. Them thinking that he was in the same evaluation mode as Eli Manning, they didn't play that right. Them trying to narrow the teams that he was going to go to, that didn't do right. Not working out at the combine, that wasn't the right thing. His interview process, obviously he could have done a lot better in that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people left that meeting, felt he was very, very entitled.
Which meet? Like, because they said Brian DeBall, Giants coach, had said he didn't like the meeting. He asked him, he had some book, was his playbook or something he was supposed to know, and he said he felt weird about it. I don't know who else said they didn't like the meeting with him. Or was it just people behind the scenes saying they did?
Well, the thing about it, they didn't draft him.
I know that.
So it's not the tape. And he likes guys to be a little more open before he lets it go. And he doesn't have a big-time arm. He's not a big guy. He's not overly athletic. Mm-hmm. So his measurables are not, say, first-round measurables. But he played football like a first-rounder.
But his tape is first-round tape. But his measurables are not first-round measurables.
Well, you don't play football all the time. You're a human being the rest of the time. And how you're going to be in the locker room, how he already came up with this line of merchandise, legendary, like he's already calling himself legendary. All those things are problems. Right now, he's working check to check, man. Like, he's not going to get a big signing bonus. There's not going to be a big guarantee. Any day they want to get rid of him in the week, they can get rid of him.
Don't we think Shedeur is smart enough to know he's not at Jackson State and he's not at Colorado?
No.
You don't think so?
I listened to too many of his answers. I saw too many of the outtakes. I saw too many times he was working out with other players, and he said things that I thought were highly questionable for my franchise quarterback.
So like what?
When he was working out with Cam Ward, him and Cam Ward, yeah, so, the number one pick.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you want to cut a rap video together? No, I want to be known as a football player.
And he's like, what do you do for fun? He's like, I play football. Like,
why wouldn't you sit down with people? And something these kids never understand. Even if you're a top 10 pick, you're in the NFL for a long time. Yeah. So your interview, your tape, people in the room that see you, someone can like you in the room. They might not draft you 5-10 years later,
yeah,
man.
You're looking for a guy. You're looking to trade. And they remember your interview.
Yes.
The interview you had.
It's a small world. This whole thing with Deion and the media and everything, like, it's out of control. Like, it did not help him. It helped him make money in college because he got followers, but it actually hurt him as far as him getting a job as an NFL quarterback.
Now, Shedeur Sanders came into the draft process riding a tidal wave of hype and swagger and self-promotion that outpaced even his own field accomplishments. Now, like I said, he's the son of NFL legend Deion Sanders. Okay, and Deion Sanders absolutely deserves all of his accolades. But his son Shedeur seemed more interested in selling a brand than earning a badge, boasting flashy watches, designer fits, and an Instagram reel filled with ego, not humility. But when draft day came and the reality didn't match the noise, the humble pie hit him really hard in the face. Now, the league doesn't care about followers, your NIL deals, your father's legacy. They care about performance. They care about maturity. They care about wins. They care about money. And they care about, forgive me for saying, AIS, ass in seats. Okay. And as I said, Shedeur found himself staring at a draft position that didn't quite reflect his expectations or match all the swagger and the noise. This was an NFL's way of saying, you're not there yet, kid. You got to earn it like your dad did. But of course, instead of letting this process play out, or holding him accountable for the arrogance and entitlement he walked in with, the media wasted no time crying, what? Racism. Watch it.
There's a lot of people out there who are saying that, you know, he needed to be humbled. Shadur Sanders didn't need to be humbled. He's already humble. His confidence should not shake you or make you uncomfortable.
They hate to see confidence. When you black and you confident, you know where you come from, you know who you are, you know what you can do, and you don't need nobody to pat you on the back to give you the confidence. They hate it.
32 teams passed on them. Not once, not twice, not three times, but four different times they passed on them. How the hell does that happen?
It's the way Shador dresses. It's the way he talks and his culture. He's wearing all black. He got the ill chain on and he talks like a rapper.
Are there racial undertones here? Racist undertones? It just stinks. It smells of racist undertones of too many white people in charge in this league.
Okay, so that's ridiculous, because when a young, cocky quarterback with inconsistent tape doesn't go in the first round, it must be systemic oppression, right? Never mind the fact that several other black quarterbacks have been first round picks based on merit and leadership. Never mind the fact that the first, the second, the third, the sixth, the seventh, the ninth, the 10th, 11th, I mean, 14th. I mean, come on. I think there are about 32 picks and 25 or six of them were actually black. So where's the racism? This wasn't racism. This is realism. Okay. The NFL is a performance league, not a popularity contest. Believe it or not, maybe now with some of the gloss stripped away, Shador will have the chance to actually develop into the player he thinks he already is. But that only happens if he ditches the attitude and embraces the grind. And that, my friends, I will say, is the Savage Truth. So please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember to be bold, be strong, be faithful, be true. Till next time, I'm Cicely. The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.